Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Keep It Creepy, a brand new podcast from Jedi Dropouts Productions. If you are a previous listener of a Jedi Dropouts podcast, you may be familiar with myself, Ryan Taylor, and you might be familiar with the bulldog that is grunting and snorting in the background, and I'm sure by the end of this episode we'll be snoring as well. But one person you will not be familiar with is my co-host for this podcast, my wife. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Your wife, Charlotte, who you may have heard of. I don't know. I don't listen to your podcast. I don't know if you talk about me.
You went from not listening to podcasts, including the 100+ episodes your husband's done, to wanting to co-host one. Which is a bit of a jump.
I want to be very clear that I still don't listen to any of your podcasts.
That's all right. If you've heard me talk about superheroes once, you've heard me talk about superheroes a million times. But that's not what this podcast is. Whereas Jedi Dropouts is everything geeky under the sun, Final Form is everything anime, Keep It Creepy, as the title would suggest, is all horror all the time. In this episode, we're going to get into our own personal backgrounds with horror movies a little bit, and from here on out, every episode is going to be a different horror film. We're going to try and cover all the bases, try and get some old stuff in there, try and get some new stuff. Maybe not delving into the Human Centipede territory, that's maybe a little too far, but who knows.
No, there is no who knows. It's a no.
Okay.
That's okay. A strong no. Yeah, I mean, you can tell from the content itself why I haven't jumped in on Jedi Dropouts in Final Form. I have less than nothing to actually say about any of those topics, but as far as horror goes, I can't imagine you hosting a podcast about horror and me not having a lot of opinions, so...
Exactly.
I have to be here. Yeah, it's non-negotiable.
It is true. Actually, I think you go further back with horror than I do.
Technically, yes.
Because I was a little wimp when I, like, not even just, like, as a small child, like, into my teen years, I was so bad with watching horror films. What's your earliest memory of watching a horror movie?
I mean, if we're counting... when I watched Hocus Pocus and had screaming nightmares for a week.
Okay, that counts, because, like...
And I haven't watched it since. I really want to. I know I'd love that movie.
I've actually never seen Hocus Pocus.
I'm just saying, the guy with his lips sewed shut, the image has been in my head ever since. I've never shaken it. I know it's not a scary movie.
That's the thing.
But by God.
Like, that is honestly the thing about it, is, like, as a child, things that aren't even horror really related...
Mm-hmm.
Can just scare the ever-loving shit out of you.
That's true.
Like, one of my earliest memories for being absolutely terrified of something on TV is the music video to Weird Al's Jurassic Park. And it's just claymation dinosaurs.
Well, this is it. I mean, my mom always says I wasn't allowed to watch Power Rangers because, frankly, it would have given me nightmares, and she's justified in saying that.
It's true. It's true. What's the... Oh my god, I'm losing my geek side here. What's the villain... He's got, like, his tendons and muscles showing.
Well, this is the thing. I just want to let it be known that it's going on recorded record on a public forum in the void of the internet. My mom was right. Every mom wants that, but I'm just saying I'm actually doing it. My mom was right.
That is fair. So besides that, obviously, Goosebumps. Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I never really watched either of those much. I read a few Goosebumps books.
Freaky Stories
I did watch. Okay. Actually, the one with the hook for the hand scared me to death.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you another one that really scared me again. Not horror, but as a kid, scared me to death. That episode of Hey Arnold with the creepy haunted train.
Yeah.
Absolutely traumatizing. As well as the episode of Dudley the Dragon with the poison dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's dark. I still think that would scare me a little bit.
That's less scary, more traumatizing.
It is. Yeah, I don't know why that was targeted at children. I wasn't going to drink Drano anyway. I was already kind of scared of poison chemicals, and then they just ruined my life.
Speaking of things that were somehow aimed at children that just weren't... weren't really fit for them. I've been watching Dark Crystal lately, like the new Netflix series. I'm so glad I didn't watch that movie as a kid.
Absolutely.
Because you've got, like, these, like, Muppets that are vultures.
Well, see, it's deceptive because it's Muppets.
Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, what if a Muppet just came from the depths of hell? It's what a lot of that movie is. And anyway, I'm going to get into that series a little more on Jedi Dropouts. But
in talking about our intro to horror, I don't feel like we've actually discussed anything horror at all. I feel like it's what we perceive as horror as kids. So I think that's your first foray into horror, really.
Yeah.
It's what you perceive to be horror.
Exactly. And I think, I was really into, like, kiddie horror as a kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, weren't we all?
Yeah, like Goosebumps. And, like, you'd have those little paperbacks of, like, you know, haunted tales from, and it's very, very, like, going back to it now, it's barely on the outskirts of spooky, right?
I mean, like, what was that show we were just talking about?
Freaky Stories.
God, yeah. My memory's horrible. Mm-hmm. That show was a little unnerving, though. Even the content and the subject matter, like, there are episodes that they had on that wouldn't be out of character for a Stephen King story.
Mm.
Do you know, like, some of the subject matter of that, I feel like there's some pretty gross stuff, really, that wouldn't be kind of adult themes when you think about it. I mean, it was, you know, it was portrayed as cartoons and it was funnied up a little bit for kids, but I do think some of the thematic elements of murder and dead bodies creeping around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's some pretty gross stuff. I'm gonna look into it. We should do an episode on Freaky Stories.
Yeah. So, you said you didn't really watch Goosebumps, or Are You Afraid of the Dark?
No, I read a couple Goosebumps books, but I never really watched it. Again, it wasn't something that was really on my radar as a kid. I would have been terrified of it.
Mm.
At the age that,
Yes.
Like, Goosebumps was when I was pretty young, so, like, that would have been before I had kind of muscled up.
For me, they always came on back-to-back. There was always an episode of Goosebumps, and then an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark.
I used to rush to turn off my TV.
Oh, before...
Before they came on.
Okay, see,
I didn't watch it.
See, I watched Goosebumps. I loved Goosebumps. I was fine while I was watching it, and then when I went to sleep,
I couldn't sleep,
because, you know. But once or twice, I stayed up past the Goosebumps and watched Are You Afraid of the Dark? And just the worst kind of nightmares.
Well, do you remember that Crypt Keeper.
Oh,
the
yes.
Crypt Creeper. The Crypt Keeper show.
Tales
from the Crypt Keeper.
I do remember that pretty well.
And Mummy's Alive. Also not horror. I'm really...
Just anything even
this is disintegrating.
Vaguely.
Absolutely disintegrating.
No, well, we're going to work our way up a little bit.
I mean, they're a horror mummy.
Yeah.
Is there a good horror mummy movie now that I think about it?
See,
is there what you would call a good horror movie that has a mummy?
I mean, the classic.
The classic.
Mummy.
I mean, outside of that, though.
See, because, I like the Brendan Fraser mummy movies.
I've never seen it.
No?
No.
Oh. But it's barely horror. It's more of an adventure.
Yeah,
an adventure with tinges of horror. But yeah, with Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark, after watching a couple episodes of Are You Afraid of the Dark, every time Goosebumps is over, I rushed to turn off the TV as the intro of Are You Afraid of the Dark came on. Because
even the intro was kind of creepy.
Yeah, it brought up memories of, oh god, I remember the last time I watched this.
I get it.
But I think my first diving into even being aware of horror as it is, it probably explains a lot about me that I grew up between a movie theater and a video store.
Yeah, because I think before you go into this, I want to say I think it's really important that you draw the line between your first experience of what scares you versus your first experience actively watching and seeking out horror movies.
Yeah.
Because I feel like those are two different places that you can distinctly remember. The first time you were really scared by something you watched, and the first time you wanted to be scared by something you watched.
Oh my god. If we're talking the first time I wanted to be scared, we're probably talking about 20s. Like, I know, but
even when you're a teenager and you're hanging out with all your friends and you want to watch that scary movie for the thrill of the scary movie, even if you didn't really like the feeling of being scared, you were still seeking it out.
I kind of went along with friends and be like, yeah, sure, let's watch a scary movie.
Well,
I would, like, look away, right?
Whatever brought you there, either way, it's still seeking it out more so than...
Yeah.
So what's the first point that you sought out? And again, I don't mean your early 20s here. I mean, like, when you were a teenager.
That I sought out.
You deliberately went to go see a horror movie.
Okay, well, there's a bunch that I went to go see. and then left.
Okay, I'll just let you. I'm gonna let you tell your own story. Okay. You have a unique.
I know, I do, because like I've been on the outskirts of horror for so long.
Yeah.
And I was well into my late teens, early 20s before I actively could enjoy a horror movie and enjoy the thrill of being scared.
You were a big time late bloomer.
Oh, I was such a wimp. Such a fucking wimp. So like I had to make a list of movies that I attempted to watch when they came out when I was like a preteen, and I just couldn't get anywhere. The Ring. I went to see The Ring in the movie theater. I got a refund. Remember the very first jump scare when they flash back to the dead body at the funeral?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, yeah, when, no, that kind of just gave me goosebumps.
It's a good scare.
It's a good scare. It's a good jump scare, right? As far as jump scares go.
But I the second that happened, I got up and I walked out.
I can relate to that because we've had this conversation before. When I went to see Freddy vs. Jason with my cousins, I mean, and you had the same experience. It's not just me. I literally made it to the title card of that movie, and I was like, nope, that's enough of that.
Okay. I have a really embarrassing story about Freddy vs. Jason. I'm going to tell this one. So I managed to get a date with my childhood crush to go to see Freddy vs. Jason. And I wimped out so hard in the opening credits that I walked out on the date.
Did you call her after?
Nope.
Did you ever have another date? Mm-mm. Wow, you really shot yourself in the foot on that.
And the movie's not even scary.
I mean, it's really not, and that's the thing. I remember defiantly watching Freddy vs. Jason a few years later just to be like, I'm not scared of this. I mean, mind you, I watched it in a well-lit room. I didn't really get the whole...
Most of the movies that scared me... I'm just realizing this now. Most of the movies that scared me at that point, that like really scared me, I didn't see again until I was... mid to late 20s. Because it's almost like there was like a piece of me that was still like, nope, not that one.
I feel like we just went in really hard. Like, if we were really scared by a movie, we'd just watch it over and over and over again. Like,
yeah.
The number of times I've seen Ju-on scared me so bad the first time I seen it, and like, I have a friend who can attest to this.
Ju-on's terrifying.
Ju-on is terrifying. I still think Ju-on's terrifying. The Japanese have a real handle on horror.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's just unnerving, and... I was so scared of that movie that we would always be having sleepovers, and I mean, I couldn't even look up the stairs for fear of seeing this twisted little freaky girl like coming down like a weird crab walk, and it was alarming, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we still for all watched that movie so many times. I can't even tell you how many times we turned on Ju-on.
Quick question: to be traumatized by a crab walk on a staircase, was this before you saw The Exorcist, or?
God, I didn't see The Exorcist until I was much older. Not because I was afraid of it, I just never really...
Yeah.
I never really got my hands on it. Because, I mean, we're talking about a time when you rented movies from the store.
Exactly.
Right? It was pay-per-view and what you rented from the store. I mean, we didn't torrent movies, we didn't have streaming services. I mean, so, like, I grew up in a small town, and we didn't have a whole lot of access to, you know, a variety of things. I mean, really, it was like new releases and your scattered, important, whatever. I'm on a tangent here, but... Long story short, I watched that weird whatever that weird reboot with the bad CGI wolves of The Exorcist was. But, like, I never actually had a hard copy of The Exorcist in my hand until, I mean, I can't even tell you how old I was. I seen that movie for the first time in my 20s, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't a teenager, so I don't know if it would have scared me or not, because I just never seen it.
I think it would have messed me up a little bit.
Fair enough.
13 Ghosts. I had a similar experience with 13 Ghosts.
That's the one we watched together last year, right?
Yeah.
Which was the least scary thing.
Oh, it's not scary at all.
It's the least scary movie.
But,
it was kind of fun, but...
What you said about the staircase...
Yeah.
I had this thing, and I'm talking a good decade of this, where there's a scene near the opening where there's this cut-up naked... Lady ghost? I don't know. I can't even remember what she's... I can't even remember what the character's called.
It's not even a character. No. It's just a bunch of scary tropes thrown together in a pile, and they're hoping something stings.
Anyway, she's in a bathtub full of blood or something.
Well, this is it. Like, there's not even a sensibility to it. There's no... No, there's... I don't know.
And that messed me up so bad that for... I want to say 10 years. Every time I went into a bathroom, I had to look in the shower and make sure there was nothing in there.
I feel like there was overlap of even when I started dating you, you were still doing that.
Yes, I know. Like, I'm talking into my 20s.
Into your 20s.
A fucking grown adult man checking to see if there's something in the shower because of a bad horror movie.
Because of a bad horror movie.
And all it was just how it imprinted on my mind when I was, like, what, 12 years old?
I do remember seeing that. Is it the first Resident Evil movie where they're in that room with all the weird lasers and someone gets, like, cut into cubes?
That's one of them.
Whatever Resident Evil movie that is, I remember being too young to watch it and watching it anyway. And it wasn't even like I was watching it like sneakily at a friend's house. I'm pretty sure I was with family.
Yeah.
And it was just on. And anyway, I found that to be pretty alarming. Anyway, I feel like we're really gone off on a tangent here.
That's what this is.
That's the nature of this beast.
See, if you listen to Jedi Drop It, you know.
I know that there was no sense or structure.
Oh, absolutely.
The sound of our own voices.
Another one that hit me pretty hard when I was young, and I grew to love, House of a Thousand Corpses.
See, again, I never seen that until... I don't think I seen that until you showed it to me. Not because I didn't want to, but... Yeah. You know what? Maybe this is why I have a soft spot in my heart for all those 2000s horror movies.
Yeah.
Because those were the ones that I really seen, because of, again, pay-per-view, hanging out... friend's basement, all these sleepovers. That's just what we did. We watched movies. And we watched a lot of horror movies.
One aspect of both our, I guess, introductions to horror, or getting into horror, that is totally different for both of us. I have not really any family members who like horror movies at all. You...
No, that's a lie. Your mom is a secret horror fanatic.
She's a closet
horror
fan. We're
gonna go there.
But you know what? You know what? I don't know if she's a closet horror fan. I think she's more... Like, not to separate horror from thriller.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Does she watch a lot of gore?
I think she would. I think your dad doesn't like gore, and therefore she doesn't watch gore. I think that's the line.
Oh, Dad. I must have, like...
You did not get this from your dad, to be very clear.
Yeah, but you have a family member who
definitely... I would be just wrong not to mention that I definitely got into horror to impress my brother in a big way. Yes. I didn't want him to think I was a wimp, which I absolutely was a wimp, and I mean, like, I just had to watch it. Like, he was so into horror, and this is what he wanted to watch, and I was like, well, I gotta be cool. I mean, it's the same reason I listen to, like... Linkin Park. System of a Down. I had to be cool.
Yeah, of course.
So anyway, that definitely had a big influence on my taste in horror and my early starting to watch horror, really. I would argue that he definitely had a big influence on me in that way. And I watched Dawn of the Dead was probably one of the earlier horror movies that I watched and really, really enjoyed. And I mean, that's not terrifying by any stretch of the imagination.
We're talking original here.
We're talking original, and it was fantastic. And I loved it from the first time I saw it. And then, again, not really a horror movie, but horror comedy, Army of Darkness. I don't know, do most people see Army of Darkness before Evil Dead?
I don't think so at all.
That was my experience. I knew Army of Darkness quite well. It was one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. Quotable. Watched it so many times and still hadn't seen Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2 at this point. And, I mean, that one stuck with me forever. And I will say that Dawn of the Dead is still one of my all-time favorite movies ever.
You know what? I think our tastes come in, like they kind of weave in and out with horror movies. But
for sure.
We agree that Dawn of the Dead is the greatest.
Dawn of the Dead is just, it's classic. It's never not something I'm in the mood for. I could watch that movie any day of the week. It makes me feel really... It's probably twisted to say, but I feel like I'm in a good mood when I watch it. It makes me happy. It's dumb.
It
does that, but...
It's interesting that we came at horror through different means, different timelines.
For sure.
But our tastes kind of line up at the top.
Well, I mean, we can both agree, I'm sure, that Evil Dead is probably one of the best franchises ever done.
Evil Dead,
I think, my favorite.
It's quite possibly the greatest trilogy of films.
Oh my god, absolutely. Like, I mean...
Okay. I have a podcasting company called Dropout Productions, so maybe not number one, but like top five.
Okay, people are gonna. I mean, if anyone bothers to listen to our words spilling out of our mouths into the void, people are gonna come for us for saying Evil Dead is the greatest trilogy ever. It is, that is it probably is, the most grandiose statement I've ever made in my life.
I would argue it's the greatest horror trilogy.
Okay, that's a different comment entirely. I mean, like, you've got The Godfather, Lord of the Rings coming for you.
I'll take Evil Dead over both of those.
I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying it's bold to say the greatest, but we do enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's no disputing how much I enjoy that. And again, I have a friend who will never forgive me for her going to the theater to see the remake on her birthday. Yeah. I'm still not forgiven for that. I don't really blame her. I understand. It was it's pretty scary. I mean, that remake was great, and I'm not usually... No, okay, I can't say I'm not usually into horror remakes. I think we're actually pretty into horror remakes as far as most horror fans go. I'm pretty excited to see most of them. Like, I mean, I've been pretty enthusiastic about the Halloween remakes. All of them, really. I mean, they're not all masterpieces, but I've enjoyed it. Like, I can't say I don't enjoy it. That's the thing. It's
For a while, I wasn't really into the remakes, but I feel like the quality of horror films in the last couple of years has really picked up.
It has, and there's no disputing that. I think the only horror movie remake that I'm really not here for is Pet Sematary, which, frankly, I think we should do a 5-part episode so I can fully express my opinions on that.
We'll do 5 parts so I can at least talk in one of them.
Right? I have so many things to say. I might come to that with a thesis prepared. I may, I'm not going to talk off the cuff on that one. I will have a structured essay of at minimum 20,000 words, and I have a lot to say. And you know what? I think Stephen King would agree with me on some of it, frankly, so I don't even feel like I'm overstepping.
Well, he would agree with you once it's worn off and he can talk about it.
Because, once he can talk about it.
I'm sure right now he's just got to be like, yes, sir,
thumbs up. Yes, sir, they didn't ruin that. And I don't mean to come across as really, really harsh about that. It's just literally one of my favorite novels, one of my favorite horror novels, and novels in general of all time. And there was just a lot coming for. And again, I don't mean to be one of those people who's like, oh, the book was better, because I really... No. I mean, usually the book is better. I won't go down that road. But I don't want to come across as one of those condescending people, because no, I think the movie and the book can stand separately as long as the movie actually brings some merit on its own.
Yeah.
I just feel like this one really didn't. Again, we should have its own episode for that.
I got into it a little bit on a Jedi Drop It episode.
We're going to have some right crossover, after we watch but that's it. Okay.
No, I mean that's just the nature of this thing. But yeah, like, it doesn't really work as an adaptation.
It doesn't? It
doesn't really work as a remake. It doesn't really work as its own thing.
It doesn't. That's the thing. If you take the book away, if you take the original film away, if you take everything out and strip it down and pretend none of that existed, and this is just a standalone movie, it's still not good.
Like, and it's all behind the camera, the issues.
100%. The acting was great.
Yep,
the set design wasn't even bad.
Phenomenal, actually.
Like, the look of it, the cinematography of it, it was not bad. The script was really bad.
Okay. We're cutting off the Pet Sematary talk.
I can't deal with it.
We're going to have to do that episode probably pretty soon.
I'm going to have to. I wanted to do that episode after I watched the movie, before we even decided we were doing this. I was like, we should do a Jedi Dropouts special episode just so I could talk about Pet Sematary on the internet and scream into the void.
Yeah, so just know that's where this podcast came from your need
from
to
talk. From my anger over that film. It just burns me. Anyway, I'm really being dramatic about that. I feel kind of bad about how strongly I feel about that movie.
That's all right.
I know. I'm working on it.
Question is, if a movie makes you feel that strongly, is it really a bad movie?
Yes. It's still... What do you mean, is it still bad because it makes you feel strongly? Do you know how many things have made me feel strongly?
It evoked an emotional response.
I'm sorry, murder makes me feel strongly. Doesn't mean there's artistic merit. Not comparing this movie to Murder. I want to be very, very clear. I'm just saying.
That's up for debate.
I'm just saying.
Okay, let's go back to what we were talking about. So, next to the list of movies I had to just, you know, jump out on because I couldn't watch them at that age, it's interesting because I have a list of movies I know for sure I watched and loved on opening night. Okay, you can hear... Yep, that's the bulldog snoring.
Sorry, guys. I'll wake her up a little bit.
And again, it's all... It's exactly like you said. It's all mid-2000s. Because just based on our ages, based on the timelines, that's, you know...
Not to jump back to the bulldog, but it doesn't help that she's asleep under the table that the mic is on. So it's coming up directly.
It should be fine.
It'll be fine. Sorry, guys.
So how many of these did you also get into?
All right, hit me with the list.
Saw.
Obviously. Oh my God, we were obsessed with Saw. Okay, to go down the Saw road, I know Saw is so, like, overdone and everyone, it's kind of overrated, I guess. I don't really know what the world thinks of Saw. I was obsessed with Saw. Like, when we first watched Saw, we were, like, mind blown. We thought it was the cleverest plot twist. Yeah. I mean, we were just floored. Like, it was the first time any of us, and I guess, again, young horror. I mean, we hadn't really watched that many horror movies. I mean, we were floored. We were stunned by it. We were instantly, like, top of the list, favorite movie ever. This is just the best. I mean, we were obsessed with it. We loved Saw. I didn't see it in theater like you did. Again, you had a theater. We did not.
It was in my backyard.
Exactly. I mean, we didn't have a theater for, like, 2 hours from our town, so I didn't see it until it came out on pay-per-view several months later, but, I mean, it was probably within a year of seeing it around the same time. And, yeah, I mean, we were obsessed with it. What did you think of it?
Oh, well, my thoughts right now, you were saying, like, you know, is it overrated?
Is it overrated?
I think the first film is underrated. The series is overrated.
The series probably is a bit overrated, but I would be...
But I think that first movie, I think, is a classic.
It is. I think Saw is a classic, and I think, if I'm being honest, this is probably another episode. We should probably do Saw.
Oh, yeah.
We should probably do at least an episode, if not a two-parter, on the Saw series.
That's good.
You know what I mean? Maybe do it. So anyway, we should get to that. But I feel like I would be hesitant to say the series is overrated because, I mean, if you look at a lot of these big horror franchises over the years of, like, Nightmare on Elm Street and Halloween and Friday the 13th and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, you hit all the big ones. And they were all a pretty long time ago.
Yeah.
Right? And what has done that since successfully?
I would say in... Our time, Saw, and the Conjuring universe.
Paranormal Activity has gone pretty far.
Paranormal Activity,
I think they've kind of fallen off.
They did like 6 movies.
They did quite a bit. But I feel like
Child's Play is still going.
Child's Play is still going. So that's another one. But, like, again, to say Saw is overrated, yes, it kind of is, but I think it deserves some credit for how successfully it's created
another
big heavy hitter killer.
Also,
just lifted the phrase heavy hitter from last podcast on the left.
Shout out to those guys.
Shout out to them. But you know what I mean, though? Like, you got your Freddy, you got your Jason, and now you have your Jigsaw. Like, I feel like they've created that major character that not a lot of franchises are successful in doing.
No.
And I guess that hinges on how good that first movie was, no doubt. But, I mean, you know, when you go through some of these series, the quality kind of falls off on some of them. Not all of them. I mean, there are better and worse.
It's back and forth.
It is. It's up and down. And I think the Saw, you know, it's unfair to say that Saw is not kind of in the same vein as that. There are bad, there are better. They're not all mad. You know, it's...
I feel like we're, as a lot of the series that go up and down and, you know, peaks and valleys, I feel like Saw is sort of a...
I know you think it's a downward slope, but we haven't seen the newest one. I haven't seen. No. I really don't know much.
You know
about
what?
It.
That's not true because I remember watching them and being like, "Wow, they're getting worse and worse and worse." And then, like,
there was a good one.
The second last one was, like, surprisingly good.
I mean, it's been a long time since I watched that full series through. We really, again, that's an episode of its own. But sorry, I cut you off on what you were saying.
We're just
so that's our thoughts on Saw. we'll go back to that.
See, like, it's a lot of these 2000s like. For lack of a better term, torture porn movies?
Oh, God. Like, horrible phrase.
But that's what people use.
I guess when you're talking about things like Hostel and stuff.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Like Eli Roth.
It's very graphic.
Yeah.
The 2000s horror movies are very gory. I feel, because they could be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I just feel like they had more of a platform than years before. They had more of a platform to do it on. They have more of an audience to do it for, and they have more of a budget to do it with.
Yeah. I'm just now noticing a trend.
Sure.
I'm just noticing this. So you got the 70s of horror, which, I mean, that was horror coming into its own. The 80s, I guess, were a reaction to that, where everything got super gory, super special effects.
Yep.
90s were like, okay, let's try and make horror... what's the word I'm looking for here? Respectable. Silence of the Lambs.
Horror that, like, both your mom and you would
exactly.
watch.
the rise of the thriller, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And it didn't have... it wasn't PG. I mean, you can't by any stretch say Silence of the Lambs was PG, but at the same time, what content really was in it that you would feel like, oh, my 14-year-old definitely can't watch that.
The big difference is Silence of the Lambs not PG, no. But you can cut a couple things out, and you can throw
that on... You can put it on TV,
You can throw that on TBS,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah,
you're not, there's no cut of Hostel that's making it on TBS,
right? No, there's literally no cut of Hostel. But Eli Roth would not be disappointed to hear that.
No, exactly.
That's what he intended.
But that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, the intention is different,
I feel like the
sure.
2000s were a reaction to that rise in the 90s.
Yeah, I
and,
could agree
and
with
saying,
that.
No, 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 let's get the blood and the guts and let's get as gory as possible.
Let's be intentionally disgusting.
Which, I guess, explains the 2010s being...
Mm-hmm. Eli Roth say on one of his podcasts something to the degree of, you know, like, we want to elicit that reaction.
Yeah.
And if people are angry, then so be it. Like,
yeah.
If we get angry viewers, if we get whatever, I mean, that's what we want. We want people to have a reaction.
Yeah.
I don't know if I just made that up. I could have swore I heard him say that.
That sounds familiar.
On that History of Horror podcast.
Yeah.
I don't recall which one it was.
For horror fans listening, I assume anyone listening to this is going to be a horror fan. Eli Roth's History of Horror Uncut podcast. Phenomenal.
Oh my God.
It's
great.
Like a dozen episodes.
I'm going to be honest, it's what got me into listening to podcasts at all. The first one, I listened to his interview with Stephen King, and I was like, well, I guess I listen to podcasts now.
Yeah. That's a great interview. My personal favorite, I don't think you've heard it yet. He sits down with Greg Nicotero and Rob Zombie for like 2.5 hours.
I could be on board for that.
So, I mean, you've got two guys who led the forefront of gory 2000s horror films and one of the leading visual effects guys from horror in the last, you know, 20 years. Great conversation. Let's see. Jeepers Creepers is another one.
Oh, we loved Jeepers Creepers. I mean, I can't love Jeepers Creepers anymore. I guess I can. Okay, I can still like Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah.
It was a good horror movie. In my opinion, it's a quintessential 2000s horror movie. It's just that the director is an unforgivable, awful person. I can't.
He's done some stuff.
So it's kind of ruined. Like, I don't mean to say that the worst thing he did was ruin Jeepers Creepers for me. I mean, that's the bottom of the barrel.
Course.
It doesn't matter. But, like, it takes the joy out of watching Jeepers Creepers.
It taints the movie a little bit.
It does taint the movie. Like, because every time I watch it, I'm just thinking, oh, wow, that's...
Yeah.
Like, all I can think about is what a bad person he is the whole time I'm watching it. I find it really hard to separate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the time, before we all knew that, I mean, we loved Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2, actually. I watched both of them fairly regularly. Big fan. Big fans.
Don't even know if I ever saw 2.
Really? That was the one where we were on the bus, I think.
Literally every time I've ever heard that movie talked about, it's the one with the bus.
It's the one with the bus.
that's all I got.
If you haven't seen, if you'd seen it, that's my point. You'd remember the bus.
Yeah.
Jeepers Creepers was really fun at the time. I always loved the Creeper. I loved the creepy little song.
It was a pretty good horror villain.
It was.
Design.
If it wasn't for the creepy director, I would probably still have that in regular rotation.
Yeah.
It's just, again, I just can't. I can't get past that. Which is not to say that every other director I've ever watched is, like, the pinnacle of social justice and a good person. It's not. I just don't. Again, I'm not even going to get into it. It's just that guy is above and beyond.
So, as for personal tastes, we mentioned Evil Dead, Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about your love of 2000s.
I do. I love it.
Is there any certain like subgenre of horror, any certain kind of horror movie that like gets you every time?
By gets me as in being scared? No, I won't say specifically there's a subgenre that will consistently scare me. I will say if you throw demons into something, I'm 100% going to turn it on.
Okay,
no matter
what it
is. Like, I really like supernatural horror.
Yeah.
Because I find with supernatural horror, you never really know what's going to happen.
That's fair.
Because the doors are blown wide open. You can do literally anything because, you know, your basic physics doesn't apply anymore.
Yeah.
But that being said, that doesn't necessarily mean those are always the best horror movies because oftentimes, you know, your creators don't really take advantage of that. They let it fall flat. It's not always a great movie. Just because I'm more likely to turn it on doesn't mean I'm more likely to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I always have this little hope because I do really love, like, these, you know, demonic, supernatural, exorcist movies. I'm really into that entire genre of, I mean, subgenre of horror.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like zombies, obviously.
Zombies are great. I mean,
they got a little overdone.
I blame The Walking Dead for that, which was...
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, would we be wrong to do an episode about The Walking Dead? I don't know if I have it in me. The Walking Dead just started, it was so strong and fell off so badly,
yeah,
in my opinion. And it was a bit of a disappointment, I guess, as a zombie horror fan. I mean,
yeah,
you're kind of pumped about the show, and you finally have this show that's on primetime TV, and it's like it's made for you, and then they basically just turn it into Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah,
with
like,
some
like,
zombies.
See, and the thing about it is the shame about that show.
You know what?
Is...
Not to cut you off, I want to be clear. I think I see more gore on the last season of Grey's Anatomy than I did on The Walking Dead. So,
but see, the shame in that show is it's the writing that fell off.
It is 100%.
Because Greg Nicotero's work on that show.
Oh, it was great.
Outstanding.
Absolutely.
Outstanding makeup, special effects, but yeah,
the writing fell off. They should have either ended it or just been consistent with the writing. And also, not to go down the rabbit hole, but they killed off all of their best characters fairly early on,
yeah,
in my opinion. All your loose canon, interesting to watch characters, all kicked the bucket. And then they tried to introduce these other characters that kind of fell flat. Like,
yeah,
they didn't really do a great job. Negan was okay for a minute. And then I saw that meme about how basically every episode with Negan was just him bending back at the knees and laughing, and I just couldn't get that out of my head because it's accurate.
Yeah,
it didn't,
yeah,
really do anything after his first, I don't know, I'm,
yeah,
whatever. I just feel like they killed off Shane and I didn't really care that much. Shane, the governor was pretty good. Again, they had some good characters,
yeah,
that killed off all the loose cannons, and then it just kind of, it fell flat for me after that. And I mean, all respect to anyone who still likes Walking Dead and watches it, I can see what you're in it for, I get it, it's just not for me.
That's fair. Two specific subgenres. I don't even know what to call one of them.
Sure.
But I will watch them every time. First one, werewolves.
Werewolves, again, we've had this conversation before. Way too few movies.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a subgenre that needs to break wide open, in my opinion.
Does.
I mean, like,
I love a good werewolf movie, and there are, like,
there's nothing.
Like, half a dozen tops.
There's nothing. And, like, how many vampire movies do we have? How many zombie movies do we have? I don't even care if they're bad. I will take,
yeah,
a bad werewolf movie over, you know?
Exactly.
Just to say we have something. Just keep, you know, like, just flick it until something sticks,
yeah,
right? Just give me all the werewolf movies.
It's like an American Werewolf in London came out, and everyone else was like, well, I guess we're not going to try anymore.
We peaked early. That,
yeah,
werewolf genre peaked in high school, and now it just sells,
yeah,
Sensei on the side.
Yeah.
Wow, that was really... I'm sorry to anyone who actually sells Sensei. I actually have a Sensei warmer. Full disclaimer.
Yeah.
I'm into Sensei. Sorry.
I don't know what kind of crossover between the people you may be insulted and the listeners of this podcast are.
No, probably really, really minor crossover.
The other subgenre, I don't even know what to call it, but there's a specific type of horror movie where the enemy is disguised as people. Like, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
The thing,
It Follows.
God. Oh, It Follows is so good.
That, like, that creepy factor of...
It could be anybody.
Yes.
It could be
that,
anybody.
That kind of movie, I will watch
for
that,
sure,
every time.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
And I feel like there's so many good ones.
Oh, there are.
Right?
And it's that diverse anything goes.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Well, it's that supernatural horror, just like I was,
yeah,
saying, anything goes.
Exactly.
So you never know what's going to happen because it's anything could happen. Like,
mm-hmm. And there's something like a lot of these movies, like Invasion of the Body Snatchers comes to mind specifically, but there's a lot of these movies where whatever is disguised as people can take on, like, can take.
Mm-hmm.
In some form or another,
sure,
the characters. And the seeing a character that you've grown to follow and care for,
mm-hmm,
in this movie,
yeah,
turn into the enemy, an unrecognizable,
yeah, for sure,
monster.
There's a little bit of that in that novel I recently read, The Skull. Who was that by? It's right there on the shelf next to you. The Skull by...
Sean Hudson. Yeah.
Okay, that's ancient. I'm pretty sure it was straight out of the 80s. I found it for $1.50 in a,
yeah,
bookstore recently. But okay, I have a really soft spot for, like, really old, just gory 80s. Because, again, novels, horror novels in, like, the 80s and stuff, they could do things that the movies couldn't do.
Yeah.
There's stuff in that book that there's just... I mean, okay, in the 80s, they probably could have put it on screen, but, like, they probably wouldn't necessarily have.
Yeah.
Anyway, pretty good book. I don't know where you would ever find it. It's not a popular book by any means, but
no,
there is some element of that to it. Just that it's sort of spreading through people that you know, in the, but like you don't realize that it's kind of spreading amongst people that you know and love. I mean, you do as the reader, but the other characters don't. So you're kind of watching it happen while they're turned the other way. So it's got some element of that, again, that spreading. It's kind of a cross between what you're talking about and vampires.
Okay.
It's pretty good. I recommend you read it. I liked it. Be a good movie.
So I think, okay, we've talked about our personal tastes. We've talked about our introductions to horror. I think the last thing that we've really got to get into is what scares you.
What scares you
in a movie? Is there any, like
the last? Okay, the last movie that made me extremely uncomfortable was Us.
Oh yeah.
Not, you know, after I got going, not so much. But first, when they were just standing there and they were just staring at them, and when they finally got into the house and they're just all this raspy voicing, that gives me the chills.
Lupita Nyong'o was amazing.
She gave me the chills in that movie. I feel like I'm forgetting something really obvious that scared me recently.
Hereditary.
Oh my god, Hereditary. Oh yeah, that's a terrifying movie. I mean, it's not even just terrifying. You know what? More so than terrifying, it was just brutal and uncomfortable.
Yep.
It was jarring. It was emotionally upsetting. I feel like terrifying is not the right word. I feel like emotionally upsetting and very just painful. It just evoked...
Discomforting?
Discomforting. Just, the whole thing just left you feeling like a bad taste in your mouth. Like, it felt really raw.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never get over that mother's grief reaction to her daughter being dead and, this is the way she was lying on the floor screaming and crying.
Spoiler alert for Hereditary, by the way.
I mean, okay, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't watched Hereditary yet, and for starters, that's not even like the main plot points. I'm not even mad that I did that. I'm sorry. Anyone. I'm still sorry about the Sensi thing, too, but anyway. I'm sorry to anyone I'm offending here. But I really just think that there's just this rawness to Hereditary. And I mean, maybe it's just the acting. The acting was pretty good.
Toni Collette is fantastic.
I think Toni Collette's acting in that movie is... I don't think that movie would have been the movie it was without her.
No.
She kind of carried that movie on her shoulders.
I forget the actor's name who played her son.
I couldn't tell you.
He was great as well.
He was. They were all really good.
I've been trying to figure out what, like, you know, if there's anything that sets me off specifically in a horror movie. As a kid, it was, like, a spooky face.
Oh, for sure.
That's it, right? Like even just being in the video store... Yeah. And seeing, like, Freddy Krueger and, like, Leprechaun and, oh, like you said, Crypt Keeper. Yeah. I was like, nope.
Not here for that.
But the two movies that scared me the most upon first watch as an adult are...
I thought you just meant recently. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, just in general.
Okay, just in general.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Hereditary.
Yep.
And the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That was pretty unnerving.
And I've realized the crossover there is the combination of a horror movie with gore and the potential threat of, like, torture or death.
That looming threat, man.
But like, combining that with this discomforting, like...
The aura around everything.
Yeah, just very uneasy. You know?
Uneasy sums it up really quite well.
Because the way they play... I don't even... Like, the way they play the family in Texas Chainsaw Massacre...
Absolutely.
It's fucking uncomfortable.
It's great. I strongly agree. I think horror movies that successfully create sort of that, I don't know, it's almost a claustrophobic feeling. Like, you feel like you're caught up in this uncomfortable little, that kind of movie. It almost doesn't even matter what their jump scares are or what they do with the rest of the movie. Is that they've created that space that your head gets in while you're watching it.
Yeah.
So again, like, I don't necessarily... And I mean, it depends on everyone's individual reaction. I mean, I know people who watched Hereditary and they didn't really think it was that scary. So, I mean, you know, for me, I really got into the headspace of that movie while I was watching it and I found myself reacting to it a lot. But I don't know, I guess that was the way I was reacting to it. If someone wasn't affected by what they were watching, I could see how they wouldn't be sucked into that effectively.
Yeah, okay.
Me, I really was sucked into it, I think, is because, like, I see people crying and I cry and it's just what I do.
Yeah.
So I think I got very sucked into their human experience.
The portrayal of grief in that movie is so realistic.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. And I think I just struggle with, like, human grief.
Yeah.
Not even for myself. Like, I'm fine. I'm not grieving. It's just, I see other people going through grief, and, like, I feel this secondhand grief. Like, the way if you were standing up next to someone smoking, and you could just feel secondhand smoke filling up your mouth, that's how I feel about grief. And I think that's why that movie affected me a lot.
Yeah, Yeah, I think
griefy movies just get me, man. Like, do you want to talk about My Sister's Keeper? Because that's horror to me. That's a hard movie to watch. I can't watch that movie though, sobbing. That part where they're on the beach and, like, we're playing Feels Like Home by Chantal Kravyazek. I mean, I just can't. I cry
from the
first note of the song.
I would love to see Chantal Kravyazek used in a horror film.
I'm just saying, have you ever... Okay, watching this poor little girl dying of cancer on a beach with Feels Like Home playing, you haven't lived until you've seen it. You haven't lived. It's the worst. I sob from
the
first note.
What kind of tangent is this?
I don't know. I'm just telling you, I connect with grief. I connect with real characters, and I think... To me, movies are scary. I get, this is where this tangent is going. Movies are scarier to me if I feel some kind of connection with the character that makes me concerned for them.
Well, I mean, that really is the end goal of a horror movie, is to make you feel.
Well, that's what I mean. There's nothing less scary to me than, I mean, you could have the best jump scares in the world. If I don't care, if I don't believe your characters, I don't really care if they fall from the rafters.
And
you know?
It's like, why are you using these jump scares?
That's going to have the same effect on me as if you dropped a brick out of a building. Like, I just, you know, it's not a human to me because it's not believably a person. Yeah. Like, that isn't a person.
Here's an example. The Curse of La Llorona.
Okay, I fell asleep for that. Didn't even witness it.
You fell asleep. I watched the whole thing.
Do you know what movie I was going to say?
Yeah.
Was The Gallows. Do you remember that movie?
Gallows,
like, I just... The characters don't stand out to me. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
They don't believably come across as people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Whereas, on the other side of that, The Ritual we just recently watched.
Yeah.
That was, not that there was anything... you know, crazy brilliant in the making of the movie.
Oh, no, like, it wasn't outstanding, but, like...
If you had bad actors in that movie, it wouldn't have worked.
It wouldn't have. And you know what? I can think back to that movie, and it doesn't all just blur together. I still have, like, very distinct, like, you know, events. Nothing... They weren't just repeating the same La Llorona. Go back to that movie for a minute.
Yeah, that... It was just the same jump scare over and over and over.
Yeah.
And, like, the premise, the base of the movie, the lore it's built in, is pretty decent.
I looked it up myself as well, yeah, just to see.
It was just a very weak movie.
And that makes it so disappointing, too, because you realize how much potential it had, drawing from its source material, and that makes it almost offensively bad.
Yeah. And, like...
Not, like, offensively as in, like, the PC politically correct offensive, but, it hurts you as a horror fan to know what they could have done and what they chose to do.
And the main idea of the movie is that she's after children.
Yeah.
It should be easy to sell...
Should be terrifying.
...to someone that they want to care about a child...
Absolutely.
...that might be...
It's not that hard to make a believable kid on screen. Just let a kid actor run around.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be hard for someone to give a shit about what happens to a kid in a movie.
Yeah, but you just didn't believe it.
No, not for a second.
It's really unbelievable.
Yeah.
Again, I guess this is kind of a tangent as well. I strongly think we should do some American Horror Story episodes... For starters.
Yeah.
That could be a bit of a beast to take on because we probably need to rewatch some of those seasons.
We can delve into some TV shows.
We can delve into some TV shows, I think. We have time. Not like we're on a deadline here.
Exactly.
I was going to say, I'm a big American Horror Story fan. Probably a little bit more so than you. Not to say you don't love it.
No,
A little bit more forgiving of it.
I wouldn't say I love it. I like it.
You like it. I love it.
I love certain seasons.
I guess it's unfair to say I love every season equally. I certainly don't. particularly, I was really disappointed by Roanoke. Only because, again, I mean, if anyone's read the backstory of Roanoke and just how utterly terrifying that is.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying base material, in my opinion, again, because it just has that spooky supernatural feel. You could have literally done anything with it, and they chose to do that. Again, that could be its own episode, me talking about Roanoke. I should tack that onto the Pet Sematary one, for being personally offended by what they did with that, but, I mean, if you look at, say, I don't know how many people would be familiar with Stephen King's Storm of the Century.
Oh, that's a...
Which was a straight-to-TV horror movie, let me be clear.
That is, I think, a deep cut, because people don't really watch that.
People don't.
And what I'm saying is that it's super underrated and super underseen.
It is super underseen, because it was a straight-to-TV miniseries, and it's not based on a novel. I think it was a script written for TV.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I guess not as many people would have seen it.
And it's, like, what, 4 hours long?
It is. Well, it's a miniseries, right?
Yeah,
it's not a movie. It is technically a TV miniseries, as some Stephen King things are. I personally am obsessed with it. I love it. I think it's vastly underrated. It is pretty spooky. Like, it's... I mean, not spooky. That's probably the wrong word. But It's creepy in its own way. It's fun. It's...
Yeah.
It's got that, like, you know that vibe you get when you're... I don't know where all of our listeners are coming from, but I know for us, I mean, we get a lot of blizzards in the winter. You get that closed-in feeling. Like, roads get snowed in. You can't get out. Like, it's kind of spooky when you think about it. I mean, especially if you...
It's a good snow...
It's a good snow day movie. I'm not ashamed. I'm proud, in fact, of how many times I've watched that particular movie on a snow day.
I'm setting it now. Sometime this winter.
Oh yes,
we're gonna do an episode on Storm of the Century.
We absolutely have to. Anyway, I strongly recommend it. I'm sure you can pick it up on Amazon or somewhere for like $5. It can't be pricey.
It can't be.
I picked up a double-sided DVD of it years ago. I love it a lot. I don't know where I was going. Oh, Roanoke.
Yes.
So I think they touch on that a little bit in Roanoke. Sorry, in Storm of the Century, they touch on Roanoke. That's what I'm trying to say. I backed up my words there. So they do touch on Roanoke a little bit in Storm of the Century. And again, this is a straight-to-TV miniseries. And they more effectively made it spooky than an entire... And again, how many years ago was this? I don't even know what year Storm of the Century came out. And in my opinion, they made that more effectively spooky than an entire season of American Horror Story Roanoke managed to do. And Roanoke only came out, in 2016?
Somewhere around there.
2017, and whatever year it was, fairly recently.
Yeah.
Decent budget. I mean, how many seasons of American Horror Story are we into? Ryan Murphy's got money.
Eight.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, they had the budget, they got the writing, they have the talented actors, and that's, you know, I just think, again, it had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
I don't remember how I got to this point.
Tangents, they happen.
But again, Roanoke could have been a lot better than it was. I mean, yeah, I can still, I mean, watch it. I still own it.
Yeah.
I don't even like it. I have to buy every season of American Horror Story, let's be honest. But, yeah, again, I think you were talking about The Curse of La Llorona and stuff like that, and how it just, it has so much potential, and then it kind of falls flat and leaves you a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is what I was saying about how I really love the subgenre of the supernatural. Like, all those things are supernatural, and they're among my least favorites.
Yeah.
So, again, supernatural can let me down as often as it doesn't. It's just...
And I feel a lot of people claim that about horror anyway. It's one of those genres where you have to watch, like, 20 bad movies to get a real good one.
It's true. It's true, a lot of the time.
I think the ratio is a little better than that.
Probably.
But
the truth is, I don't even mind watching bad horror movies.
No,
If you're going to be bad, though, at least be bad and have the decency to only be like an hour and a half.
Exactly.
Don't commit me to a 2.5 hour bad horror movie.
If you're going to take over 2 hours for a horror movie...
It got to be good.
You better have something to say.
You have to be like Dawn of the Dead.
Midsommar?
Midsommar was great. You know what? I think this is a weird opinion. I would hesitate to even call Midsommar a horror movie.
I call it horror.
I know you call it horror. I don't disagree that it's horror.
I think it redefines horror.
It does. Yeah, you're right. I think, if you take it that angle, yes. It's not something that I think we've seen in horror before. And maybe we have. Maybe I haven't seen it. Maybe something me and you personally haven't seen.
If it has been done in horror before, it's been...
It's something deep cut that we don't know about.
Sure.
And, I mean, if there are any recommendations out there, by all means, let me know. I'd love to see them, because to me, what Midsommar did was it took everything that was uncomfortable about Hereditary and just put it into a different movie. Sorry, not everything, the vibe. Just that ominous vibe and that locked off... It's like the opposite of a blizzard. You're locked in the middle of nowhere in a flowery field. But I didn't find it scary.
No?
No, like there was no point at Midsommar. To me, Midsommar was just like a very... heavy hitting art film.
It is in a way, but like I found it horrifying.
I guess it was more horrifying.
It was horrifying to watch. I didn't feel terror.
Yeah, I get it.
I think that's the distinction I'd make.
It was kind of like looking at scary artwork.
Yeah.
Like if someone did a really scary but beautiful painting.
You're not
scared looking at it, but at the same time it makes you feel that similar horror.
Yeah.
I will say I didn't think it was going down that path after having seen the opening segment.
Oh, yeah.
which I don't know how much of it I should go into because Midsommar's relatively new and I don't want to drop a ton of spoilers.
We'll save it for...
We'll save Midsommar.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but after that opening segment, which is, you know, pretty horrifying.
Yes.
It's pretty scary. Yeah. Like, it's not scary per se, but, like, it's hard to watch. It had that Hereditary vibe.
Haunting.
Haunting
is the
yeah.
word for sure.
Like, I mean, okay, basically... Without giving anything away, I can compare it to, like, that scene in Hereditary, which, again, I'm gonna give spoilers, it's been out a while, so, whatever, where she loses her head, and he stops, and
yeah.
you know she's in the back seat with her head
yeah.
gone, and he pulls in home, and he just gets out and goes, like, just the way that scene makes you feel.
Yeah, it's
is
like...
the way I felt after I watched the opening of Midsommar.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's sort of like this gut punch.
It's this gut punch, and
yeah.
you hate it.
Yeah.
Like, I love it, but I hate it. It's so hard to watch.
So, my next question, does a horror movie have to be scary to be good?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we just talked about Midsommar. Midsommar I didn't find scary, but I thought it was brilliant.
Okay. Yeah.
Dawn of the Dead. I don't find Dawn of the Dead scary. I know I keep going back to that one. It's a big staple. I mean, it's Dawn of the Dead to me is a great jumping off point because I can assume that if most people have made it to this podcast, they've probably seen Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Not to be condescending. If you haven't seen Dawn of the Dead, not, you know.
No.
I mean, for starters, run and watch it. But if you haven't seen it, no worries. But I just, you know, a lot of horror fans have seen that, so it's a pretty good jumping off point. I don't find that movie scary.
No.
I don't imagine that movie was that scary when it came out. It's not.
Maybe a little more.
A little
than it
more
is now.
So.
It
I
is,
don't think Dawn of the Dead was ever meant to be terrifying.
No, it is over 40 years old, so I'm sure it scared somebody at the time.
Oh my god. I mean, it absolutely scared somebody at the
yeah.
time, no doubt. I mean, the same way, like, Silence of the Lambs scared people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's not.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a terrifying movie, and I don't think it ever was terrifying. No, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Again, it's like you said, it's 40
yeah.
years old, but. I mean, I agree. I don't think horror has to be terrifying or scary to. Be a good horror
yeah.
movie. I think there's a whole I mean, I don't want to say one subgenre. I mean, it's in a lot of different subgenres, but I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I fully agree. I personally, I don't get scared by horror movies that often.
Mm-hmm.
So when one does scare me, I'll use that as a point of, okay,
that was a really good movie.
Yeah, you know, good job.
Yeah.
Right. But like, I mean, in my opinion, the best horror film made in the last, what, 20...
I know what you're going to say.
Maybe 30 years is Get Out.
Oh, my God.
I'm
not disagreeing that it's amazing. 30 years is bold, man. To say that's the best horror movie in 30 years.
30 years goes back to 1989.
I mean, okay, maybe. I don't know. I really...
I think Get Out's better than anything made in the 90s or 2000s.
See, okay. I'm not disagreeing. Get Out was phenomenal.
It's personal taste.
Yeah, I know. I'm not. It is. But.
That one, honestly, I know it's only a couple years old. That one makes my top five horror movies ever made.
How many times on this podcast are you going to say, it's just personal taste? And I'm going to be like, yeah, okay, but you're wrong. You're wrong.
That'll be the basis of this whole
and
thing.
And you're going to be such a mild manner, just,
yeah.
It's okay, it's just a different of opinions. And I'm like, no, it's not. You're just wrong.
But what I was going to say is Get Out is my personal favorite horror movie of the last 30 years. And the movie doesn't scare me.
No, oh god, no.
It never really
Get
scared
really
me.
Scary.
But the entire time I watched the movie for the very first time, I was on the edge of my seat.
Well, because you just don't know where it's going.
Yeah,
like,
it builds suspense in a way.
Really effectively.
And, like, it's just, it's a gripping movie without really being that scary.
It is, yeah. It's an exceptional movie. I won't disagree with that. I think
yeah.
Jordan Peele's hitting a stride, and I hope he keeps striding.
Yeah.
Excited to see what he does next.
And that's the thing that's really exciting me right now. Between Jordan Peele, Ari Aster of Hereditary and Midsommar.
Oh, yes.
Who am I missing? There's a couple big ones right
yeah.
now. I mean, who knows what John Krasinski's going to do after A Quiet Place.
I mean, who knew, right? John Krasinski pulled
yeah.
it out.
Yeah,
I
really,
mean, A Quiet Place was great. I really hope he's not, like, the director equivalent of a one-hit wonder, because that'll make me really sad. But, man, I'm pumped. I don't know, maybe he's just busy doing, like, Jack Reacher stuff now. I'm not really sure. But I hope
not.
Tom Clancy.
Yeah.
Is it Jack Reacher? Am I calling it right?
No, it's Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan? Is it?
Jack Reacher's a Tom Cruise movie.
Close enough. You know what? I'm going to be honest. That's all the same thing in my head.
Yeah.
I don't even...
I've never really watched any of it.
Is there really Jack Ryan and Jack Reacher? Are those two different things?
Oh, yeah.
But they're basically the same. Am I wrong?
I have no idea.
They seem like they would be the same. Like, if you just look at, like, a promo shot for each of those, can you honestly, aside from the fact that I like John Krasinski way more than Tom Cruise, it's not even comparable as anybody, but you know what I mean.
See, like, Jack Ryan's like, been played by, like, Alec Baldwin and Harrison Ford.
Has he?
And Ben Affleck and Jack Ryan is not a recent character.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I knew it was a book character. Is this like a movie thing?
Yeah, yeah.
What are the names of the movies? Like, are they all just called Jack Ryan?
Sum of All Fears was one. I think Hunt for Red October was maybe a Jack Ryan movie. I could be wrong. That could be blasphemy.
You could be so wrong. You're just making this up as you go.
No, I'm sure.
I'm just like, are they all just called Jack Ryan? Is this just something I should know?
No, not just called Jack Ryan.
No, but like, is that why I don't know the character's name? That's what
Hunt
I'm saying.
Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, Sum of All Fears.
I've never seen
Chris Pine played him in Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit. Like, he's been played by a bunch of characters, yeah.
I see, I didn't know that was all.
Yeah.
So this is like the James Bond of
It's like
America?
It's like if James Bond wasn't that interesting.
Oh, God. To be honest with you, like, if you had literally said to me, like, yeah, you remember the Bourne Identity? That's Jack Ryan. I believe you. Even though I know damn well it's Jason Bourne. Right?
Well,
that's his name? Am I just making that up?
No, you got it.
I have seen the Bourne movies. I don't remember anything about any of them.
Yeah.
But, like, literally, if you had looked at me and said, no, it's actually Jack Ryan, I would just be like, you know what? Right. Cool.
Yeah,
you're right.
Sure.
I'm not even going to fight you on that. Because to me, that's all the same. Jack Reacher, Jack Ryan, Bourne, whatever. It's all the same person in my mind.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. this is why we're doing a horror podcast and not an action movie podcast.
Back to the point I was making.
Whatever.
Jordan Peele, John Krasinski, Ari Aster.
You mean Jordan Peele, Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan, sure, yeah. Fede Alvarez from Evil Dead and Don't Breathe.
Yes.
And the other one I was going to mention was Robert Eggers. Did The Witch, and he's got The Lighthouse coming out.
Oh, I'm excited to see.
There's a lot of directors right now working at this time and making, like, original horror films that are really fucking good.
What's Eli Roth at these days?
He's apparently working on something else. Because,
like, I will watch anything Eli Roth touches. If Eli Roth spits in the direction of a movie, I'm gonna watch it. I'm not, like, I am, because I know what Eli Roth's standard is.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily mean every movie he does is a masterpiece. Like, you know, I don't even think he thinks that.
Yeah.
But I know...
In fact, I don't know if any of his movies are masterpieces.
No, I mean, I wouldn't even go as far as to say that, but his burr of what he will put in a movie is just non-existent. Like, if Eli Roth puts his hands on it, you can be rest assured something in it is going to make you go, oh, gross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's fun. I love a good gory horror movie. I really do, like...
Yep.
I mean, okay, except Terrifier was brutal for me. I did not love that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say I love any good gory horror movie, and I guess that hits all the bases of gory horror movie.
And, I mean, technically, it got a response out of us.
It was... I really like the villain. I think I really like the villain, and I just wish that the writing and the story had gone in kind of a different direction.
Yeah.
You know, the further removed I get from that movie, the more I think I liked it. But I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't like...
Yeah.
Do you know what I... Like, I kind of respect it from a distance.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Sort of like the way you'd feel about, like, if you've seen, like... If you've seen, a crazy mongoose over there.
No, continue. Okay, I like where this example's going.
Okay, like a Wolverine. Like, say if you've seen, like, an evil Wolverine standing way across in the forest, and you think, I don't want to go near that. I don't want to touch it. I mean, I probably would, because I think they're really cute. But, I mean, they're pretty mean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not mean. They're wild animals. I feel like I'm offending Wolverines. Anyway.
Any Wolverines listening to the podcast.
I don't want to make Wolverines sound worse than they are. I'm just saying you shouldn't pet them.
I get it.
Okay, anyway. I think they're pretty cute. I kind of want to pet one. But anyway. I'm just saying that if you've seen one over there... You respect it from a distance. You respect what it does. You also respect that you're not going to bring it home with you and you're not going to touch it.
Yep.
And you probably shouldn't stand up and look at it too long either, because it's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
It will come for you. That's kind of how I felt about Terrifier.
Okay.
I'm like, that's okay in the distance. I respect what it did. I think that was, you know, it did what it did. I don't really want it in my house. It was kind of gross. A Wolverine was a bad example. I feel like I could have used
it. You heard it here first. Keep It Creepy. Terrifier, the horror film from 2016, is essentially a Wolverine.
Could have done better than that. I'll come back next week.
Put that as
a
quote on the poster, right?
I'm going to get a better analogy
yeah.
than that. I'll work on that.
Okay.
That's my homework for the week.
Yeah. I think if we ever do an episode on Terrifier, probably got to get James in on it.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely. Because he recommended it to us. And
yeah,
I don't think he was wrong to recommend it to us.
No.
And I don't think it was necessarily bad. I don't know how I feel about that movie. I've got a lot of mixed feelings about that movie. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like with Hereditary, there was this uneasy, unpleasant feeling while you were watching it.
Yeah.
But I was when I watched it, I was still in awe of the filmmaking.
Yes.
With Terrifier, wasn't really in awe of the filmmaking, but I still had all that unpleasantness.
Oh, it was so unpleasant! Like
yeah.
It felt sickening.
And I think it did what
it did what it intended to do. I mean, I can't even criticize it. I feel bad criticizing it because it wasn't bad. It was. I don't recommend most people watch it. Honest, the God's honest truth is, someone said to me, if 99% of my friends looked at me and said, "Hey, Charlotte, what's a good horror movie that you would recommend me check out this weekend?" I would literally not recommend that to any of them.
Yeah.
Because none of them would like it. I literally watch that movie and I think, wow, nobody is gonna like this.
Yeah.
You have to be the most hardcore horror fan.
Yeah.
Like, my brother might like it.
Yeah. Probably.
James liked it.
Yeah. I mean, quick spoiler alert for Terrifier, if that's something you care about being spoiled. I feel like most, like, the general movie-going audience would not enjoy seeing a woman cut in half from her vagina down.
You know what? It wasn't even the gore of it.
But, like...
It was, but, like... It was.
doesn't help.
It doesn't help.
Yeah.
But he was such a creepy villain.
Yeah, he was. Very unsettling.
He was so uncomfortable. But you know what? I guess... For me, it was kind of either or. Like, if you've gone all in on the creepy villain, I would have been here for it. If you've gone all in on the gore in, like, a hostile sort of way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel the writing... I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Terrifier.
Conflicted.
I guess. Yeah, I am conflicted at the end of
the
day.
The verdict is out.
Maybe y'all should just watch it for yourselves.
Yep.
And tell me what you think of it.
Yeah.
And... You know, you remember that meme with the... You sitting down at the little table. It's got the white thing in front of you. It says... I don't know how I feel about Terrifier. Change my mind.
Yeah. There we go.
I want... Change my mind. Tell me what I should think of it. I'm a blank slate.
Fair enough. I think that wraps it up.
Great.
I think that's a good
way
to close...
I'm glad we ended on Terrifier the Wolverine.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a high point in my life. You could tell, you should wrap up your podcast episode when you get to that place.
Of course.
No
better way to close out an episode on our personal histories and feelings on horror than with a tangent about Jack Ryan movies and a comparison of Terrifier to Wolverine.
I'm really not Wolverine the movie.
No.
Though I bet I could write a comparative essay on that.
Yeah, sure.
I bet I could.
Which one are you talking about?
Like, I don't know.
Logan? X-Men Origins?
TBD.
I mean, X-Men Origins... technically was more horrifying to watch than Terrifier.
I gotta be honest, would you believe I've never seen an X-Men movie? Did you know that about me?
I did not know that.
We got married and you don't even know that about me.
Might have to ask for that ring back.
Keeping the mystery alive.
Anyway, thank you very much for listening to the very first episode of Keep It Creepy. Not sure if we're gonna follow any sort of schedule on this. We're gonna release them as we come up with ideas.
I mean, you've clearly heard some of the ones I'm passionate about.
Yep.
That will probably be coming up sooner than later.
And I feel like we should dive into some movies that we haven't seen.
Agreed.
As well.
Agreed, yeah.
Like, there's a big list of movies that I've never seen that I know we're going to have lots to talk about.
Yep.
Like, off the top of my head, Maniac from 1980. I know it's apparently one of the most gruesome movies ever made.
I'm going to be honest. I think we should cherry pick a few episodes of The Twilight Zone because I know it's not really horror. I know it's science fiction. But I think there's some cherry picking to be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
we'll delve into some TV shows.
Because I think
there
are elements of horror that we can certainly talk about.
Yeah. So thanks again for listening. As always, you can listen to other episodes of the other podcasts that we do, Jedi Dropouts, Final Form, and now Keep It Creepy, over at www.jedidropouts.podbean.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Make sure to follow us on social media, all that stuff. And do we have a sign-off?
I don't think we have a sign-off. Oh, God, we don't have a sign-off.
keep on creeping on.
Keep on creeping on.
And stay spooky. Later.